same one.
It's not infinite variety of additional recorders. It's convergent evolution.
Okay. Okay. So we'll get started. Okay. We're going to try to keep this to an hour. There are a lot of pages. We'll pick up a little bit from each one. First of all, I want to thank for Rabbi Turchino for giving me the opportunity to do this. Also wanted to just thank him for choosing a time when Deir Shu happens to be doing Mukta. So you'll see a number of the sources actually from the Deir Shu Mishnah Brura. So they just finished Mukta. So thank you. Okay.
Thank you.
The timing was good. And one footnote before we go through this. There's one article that I referenced in many cases, and it's in the last pages. There are two places I just gave you where you can see stuff online. The second one is obviously the Pnimei Halacha from Elazar Melamed, and that's the source there. But the one before that is an article from Ilon Moreh by Rabbi Yael Shamar Shiyam pronounced it, Shval or something. And he went through the number of dinim. So when I actually used it, and he referred to others, poskim, early poskim, modern poskim, I put a star afterwards. So sometimes I was able to check it down. Sometimes I just relied upon their being accurate in terms of the quotes themselves, which they probably are. But at least you can have a reference. If you can't find it, you know who to blame. Okay. Also following in Rabbi Ziering last week, we spoke about Klishim Lachta Leheter. And the first page is really somewhat of a recap for this. You will recall, just to summarize very briefly, that Rabbi Ziering pointed out that if Kalim, whether Kalim and Muktzah are the same kind of prohibition, or whether they're two separate prohibitions, Shabbos. One is an Isser of Muktzah, such as stones and dirt, things that may be Isser by themselves. And another is actually Kalim themselves, which seems to be the Takana or the Gzera of Nehemiah, reducing the amount of types of kalim we could use. Then they retracted, then they let it back, and so forth and so on. So I just want to point out, in the first source, I just quoted the Rambam, and it only was an oddity for me. The Rambam seems to intersperse the two reasons of kalim and muktzah together. Rambam brings three reasons. I didn't bring the Raiva, which is the fourth reason. But if you look on the second line, the third line, the first reason the Rambam says why we have this Isser of, and he's introducing muktzah in the 24th chapter of Hilchos Shabbos, is that Shelo Yehelu Hilochach B'Shabbos Ki Lochach B'Chol V'Losichas Shabbos Kesichas Achol Shnemar V'Dar B'Davar Kal V'Chol Meshlo Yetiltu B'Shabbos B'Kut Titiltu B'Chol. You shouldn't pick up the same kinds of things. And Kedei Shelo Yehek Achol Yom Chol Be'Nov Yevo Lag Be'al Takin Kalim Yipinu L'Pinu B'Vayet L'Bayet. You shouldn't pick up Kalim. So the Rambam starts talking about Kalim. And then right away he flips in the next words, which are not bolded, Olatzni Avonim or the High Avonim. Avonim is not an issue of Kalim. And then the same thing in the next halacha, Yud Gimel, the Viol Kishivaki Vitalto Kalim Shemlachtam Leisr, Efshi Shisak Mehem Biat Vivolidei Melacha. So if you take Kalim Shemlachtam Leisr, like I take a hammer, I may not just to crack open walnuts, I may use the hammer as well to start knocking in nails. And once again, Kalim are mentioned. Then he continues, Viod Mibnation Mixasame Nambalimonios, the Batalim Kol Yumeim, so I have to make some kind of differentiation. So once again, he leaves Kalim and seems to go back into the concept of Muktzah. So within the Rambam, and then you have the end of that, maybe the Varm Elu Nogabisra Tilto of Asur Shloy Tatalal Mashabas El Kalim Atzarachlem Kamoshi's Bari. He turns back to Kalim. So from the Rambam's interspersion, you could almost say, and I'm not sure if this is more me speaking, that he seems to intersperse them together, that the Takon of Kalim seems to be a part or an integral to what Muktzah was, rather than simply trying to spread one part from the other. Just simply a Ha'ara. So just the sources to Beis and Gimel on the page are just the Gemara Masechet Shabbos, which we did last week with Rabbi Ziering, and I highlighted the middle of it, or towards the end of each of them, you have the response of Rava, about how Chazru Vitiru. So Rava points out, Amar Rava, Hitiru first Dover Shemlach Delehetzer. You have, it's really, I guess, should be a Kli Shemlach Delehetzer, as we would interpret it, probably. Bein Letzarach Gufo, Bein Letzarach Makomo, V'Chazru Vitiru Mach Mecham Letzel. When it came to Dover Shemlach Delehetzer, such as something which is completely permissible, like what would we say would be Kli Shemlach Delehetzer? A cup, a chair. Okay, what could be klishimak lahetar? So you can move it, sarakufa, whether you need it, whether you need the place where it's at, or even just simply want to move it around, mecham latzia, which is we usually interpret to be protecting itself or protection. It doesn't get burnt in the sun. V'chazru, and then the next part was v'chazru yitir davar shemach d'l'isser, l'tzarakufa, l'tzarak mekam. When it came to davar shemach d'l'isser, this is how Rav understands it. So klisha malach d'liyaser, which, let's go back to the example of the hammer, it was permissible to move l'tzarach gufa l'tzarach makomo in avo mechama l'tzel, but you couldn't move it for any reason for itself. That is just simply a protective type of movement itself. You can move it for using it for itself. So if I have a reason to use the hammer to not break the walnut, I could. I can, and letzarach makomo, and if I need the place where the hammer is on the table, I can actually pick up the hammer as well. And the same thing comes up with the daf later when kuf chafda alam aleph, where the Gemara actually brings the machlokas Reb Nechemya and the Chachamim about kala kelim mitol mitzarach v'shalol litzarach, was litzarach v'shalol litzarach, so one's getting alam arava, and you have it right towards the bottom of the quote itself. So you have the same thing, davar shemach de laheter, ben litzarach ben gufo ben litzarach makomo, is considered shalol litzarach. And that's how what the Mishnah is saying. And even mechama letzel and davar shemach de laheter is litzarach gufo litzarach makomo in mechama letzel lo. And then Reb Nechemya has a whole different shita, more restrictive shita, which is really ain klit on kli nitel el litzarach itself. Okay, so that's really just the way of getting into this. And so the Shulchan Aruch really focuses in Sif Gimel on what it means kli shemach de laheter, and then we'll just read that. What is this? Ben l'tzarach gufo kugon kurnu shol zahavim o napachim lepsalbo egozim. This was a hammer for goldsmiths or blacksmiths, which probably was much smaller than the big, you know, hammers that they use in construction products projects. And so they can use that, or a kordom lachtoch bo dvela. This was some kind of, I believe, a knife or something like that to cut apart a dvelim. Ben l'tzarach makomo, or whether you need a l'tzarach makomo, which is shahayim l'shesach l'shtamish makom shakli munach sham, the place where the kli is. Umuto litol misham l'anicho beza makom shir, so you can move it to where you want to put it, and we'll see in a little bit later, that once you pick it up, and you're permitted to put it, pick it up, you don't have to simply drop it. So if I need the hammer to break the walnuts, or I need the place of the hammer, not simply I pick it up and drop it on the floor. Once I pick it up the heter, I can actually put it down anywhere I want. I can take it, once I have it, I can just put it where I would like to put it, and even if it means moving it from to a place that's a safer kind of location. But simply to protect itself, it's not serving a positive kind of purpose, then it's just simply I'm afraid it'll get stolen, or it will break, or something will happen to it intrinsically, but I'm not using the kli for a Shabbos-type purpose, and I don't need the place where it is for a Shabbos-type purpose, and we'll see what that means in a little while, then I cannot move it, it becomes arsa. So kli shemalach de l'iser, as opposed to kli shemalach de l'heter, kli shemalach de l'iser is only permissible to be moved l'tzorach gufo, ul'tzorach makomo, v'not mechama l'tzel. So that's the key, as opposed to kli shemalach de l'heter, you could move it even mechama l'tzel. You can move it around for any purpose, and we, Rabbi Ziering, focused last week upon the fact that you do need some purpose, right? So if I wanted to move, I wanted to come in to simply because I want to set up the room, I may not be permissible even with kli shemalach de l'heter to just simply move around chairs, unless maybe I'm setting the room because the room bothers me the way it is. But I'm saying, but I just can't make a random moving of kli shemalach de l'heter and even a kli shemalach de l'heter. Surely kli shemalach de l'heter, so I have to have some very positive purpose for Shabbos. Okay? And that gives us the definition of what kli shemalach de l'heter is. Moving on to number two here. It's the Mishnah Bura writes, it says, Bet 2 Aleph, she's miyuchedes l'davar she'asur lasos b'Shabbos. The kli is defined by something that is prohibited to use on Shabbos primarily. Fafilum rov malacha l'isur hu gamkin b'chlalze. Even if most of the work is going to be for an Isur Shabbos, it's still considered kli shemalach de l'isur. So the example, go back to the hammer. Hammer is used mostly for knocking in nails. I want to use it because I have a really ornery kind of walnut. So it's still kli shemalach de l'isur. How far does this kind of Isser really go? What defines the Isser? So is it an Isser min HaTorah? Is it an Av Malacha? Is it a Toldah? So the Be'er Halacha points out, and this is too bad, that Afilu Isuru Hu Rak Midrabanan. Even if it's only a Drabanan Isser, but still they would define it as Kli Shemalach Toli Isser, and I could not move that Kli simply to move it Mechama Litzel. Okay, and on the other hand, if you move it beyond Drabanans, you have what we call Chumras, which are another kind of level, a greater level. The more we practice Judaism, the more Chumras we get. So Kli She'asur, Machmas Chumra, Bi'amo, Yesh Lahatir, Satiltil. That's not considered an Isser. It's got to be an Isser, either mid Drabanan, or some kind of extension, but not just the Chumra, Be'atzmo. And I just summarized it really with what Rav Elazar Malamed writes in Panini Halacha, seeing that the whole idea is, okay, seeing that you're really considering to use it for tzorech, so you're not really going to be makzeh your das from it. That's the whole concept of kli shemalach dol yisr. And consequently, this you have to have some kind of isser, at least, that will allow me to focus, what am I using for davar heter or davar shel yisr? Okay? The other question is how far this really goes. So we talked about isser min haTorah, we talked about isser drabanan, but not a chumrah. What about something that's uvda d'chol? Uvda d'chol is not really a malacha, but it's a non-Shabbos type of activity. So if you look in the Ha'aros from Dirshu, this is once again Hay. So he points out that Avklisheno also b'shimushel moved in the chol. So this would be considered possibly also considered klishe malachto li iser. However, it would not apply to children's toys, even there if they are not directly klishe, even if they're not directly really an iser, but may fall under uvda the chol for children.
He's going to try to keep it low, and they're only here for 15 minutes.
Okay, there we go.
Isn't Uvdun the Chol, you have just a din derabanan?
Right, but it's a derabanan, it's more than a chumrah.
Right, so wouldn't that fall under the Be'er Halachas?
Yes, but a din derabanan is a din derabanan that's really an extension of the din d'oraisa. Uvdun the Chol is more of a general kind of concept. Avsha Milsa, Uvdun the Chol. So you may have thought that's almost like a chumrah, it's less than a real derabanan. Nonetheless, there seems to be that they would consider it. Now, what happens if it's uvda d'chol and yet children can use it? That's not considered really uvda d'chol. Right. Maybe for you it's uvda d'chol, not for them. So he gives an example, mischakei hagrala. I imagine something like Go Fish, or maybe Monopoly, or any card game of some sort. Okay? So that's the definition of klishe malach dol yisr. Now the two primary things that make a mutar are tzorach gufo and tzorach makomo. I'm going to leave three for a moment, come back to them in a little while. I'm going to go to four and five before I do three. So this is with defining tzorach gufo and tzorach makomo. So what's tzorach? Tzorach gufo, we kind of really gave a good definition about it. I'm going to use, this is four, okay? It's the bottom of page three if you have my hand down. If you have a different pagination, it's still four, aleph, okay? So the definition of tzorach gufo is something that it can be used for the object itself in a way of heter. The examples that come up, the old-fashioned example is about the patish, the hammer to crack the nuts. A modern format would be a pelephone pashut. This is a not smartphone. That would be a pelephone tipesh. Pelephone pashut, okay. Oh, hey, now I guess the pelephone... Chacham may have other issues if you pick it up and move it around, as possibly. But if you had simply an old-fashioned or something like this, even a recorder or an 8 or a pen, you could want to hold the pages down on a sitter that actually would be permissible. Because you're using now a klisha malach dol iser for a heter activity.
Is that what he means with telephone pashut? He doesn't just mean that it's flat and therefore usable in this way, as opposed to.
I think he means a simple old fashioned kosher phone.
Means.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm quite sure. Because. Because regular most phones, I guess today, are smartphones, and you pick them up, you begin setting things off. Sometimes there are sensors in all the phones.
The light may come on.
The light will come on. This will come off. Even when you move it, you're adjusting a GPS of some sort. Nachon. You're adjusting an internal GPS, unless it's asleep.
Yeah, that's a lot of dafka that's going to be a concern for
him. I think the problem is that, I don't know, Rabbi Dov Liel, when he spoke about the halacha, he's talking about cell phone to pick for a clock or something.
Right.
So, you can use it in Shabbat, but the smartphone, you're afraid that you're going to press something.
Oh, so...
it's like very easy to press.
Okay, so I guess what he's saying is this is a... But then again, the davar shel heter is going to be... The malach of heter is moving it to hold the sitter, so it doesn't make a difference whether it's going to be a smartphone.
Right. Therefore, okay. For example, for a watch,
you can use it for a watch, but don't do it in Shabbat. Let's not get hung up on the smartphone and the stupid phone, a kosher phone, not kosher phone, but you got the general idea. You found a permissible way to use it. It's kosher. There's a kosher way to use a phone, okay? Bekitzer, this is something that try this in Shul on Shabbos or Yom Shavuos and pull out a pen and hold the sitter down and see what happens. Okay, and let us know next week. So once again, what I found enjoyable about the Pnei Halacha was he gave, because it's written as a halachic work, he gives all kinds of examples of what would normally be that come up. So if you look in Bet, he has Patish L'tzorach B'tzorach Egozim Misparayim Kidei Loftochem Sakit Chalav. That's maybe more applicable if you buy the bags here of milk or in Israel. Machad Kidei L'Otzi Bezvato Kot Shenitka B'Basar, that the Gemara actually talks about. Sevet L'Kidei L'Otzvat Kidei Loftoch L'Skor Beresh Ein Lo Yadit. You need to open a tap for water. And Sefer Telephonim Kidei L'Mso B'Oktovot Shel Chaver. So many poskim seem to feel that a Sefer Telephonim, a phone book, which do not exist anymore really, but if they did exist, is a klisha malachdol iser. Now, why would it be a klisha malachdol iser? So that's a whole discussion. First of all, is it considered because it serves you to find the phone number to that you can phone? Is it considered, some say that it's a shari shel hajotos? It's like reading calculations because you need to find exactly where these names are. So, but a number of them feel that Sefer Shel Telephonim would be considered a klisha malachdol iser. But on the other hand, if you're going for a walk and you want to look up your friend's phone address, which you can't really turn on your smartphone at that point, you can't do a Google search, so that actually would be a way to make it work for a derech shel heter. So you could use Sefer Telephonim, which are more and more rare, in this fashion itself. Okay? And below that you have the example of the machat, which really is a gemara itself in Kuf Beis Amud Beis. This is about taking out a coats, or l'shosakayim, this was, sack makers had a bigger kind of needle, l'ftocha the delet, that you would use it as a jam into the door to pop the lock. You all pick the lock with the old, you see bobby pins at one point. That's what he's referring to. So these are all derech shel heter. And the Shulchan Aruch quotes this the same thing. Mishnah Berurah says the same thing. The only caveat is the Magen Avraham points out, I'm just moving through this a little quickly, the Magen Avraham points out that you have to be careful, you're not going to be motzi dam. Right? We could use it today not so much to be taking out a coat, but we would use it to take out a splinter. Right? But as you go into the splinter, you've got to be careful. Now what I found interesting is the Magen Avraham writes, this is the end of Gimel in the indented part. Bavachi zar shelo yotzi dam de'avid chaburah, right? But the Be'er Halacha simply says, he quantifies it in a way that's more Shabbos lingo. Bavachi zar shelo yotzi dam, yes. Ritzon alomar shelo yasena be'inyan shepsikrei shelo yotzi adam. So, correct. So just one pointing that out. One footnote about all this. This is the piece in Dalet that once again comes from the Dirshu Mishnah Berurah. Is one of the differences between one of the Dalet?
Yeah.
Page 4. One of the differences between klishim lachdol heter and klishim lachdol iser is klishim lachdol heter. If I have a purpose for it, I can move it any time in the day. So I'm going to use my chair later on, so I can move the chair in the morning for use later on. Klisha malach delis, so I have to have a purpose at that point. So I can't simply take the hammer now because I want to crack the nuts at Shalosh Shudas. So the one caveat is I can't take the hammer mechama letzel. I can't take it, but if I leave it out, it will get ruined, and I will not have the hammer to crack my nuts at Shalosh Shudas, Sudash Lishit. Then I can take it now at this point. So there is, at least it brings it a little bit closer in terms of, or extends the time that I can use it. L'talta kli shemach l'lisa mecham alatzel, mishem shetzorach l'shtamash v'meshem shechayom, sikos l'tilo l'davin, shelachorah mutar, shesof sof metalto t'chefes l'tzorach ha-shimush bo. You're not just moving it for no reason, you have the purpose for it. Okay? five. Hagdara tzorach mekomo. This is fairly straightforward. You need the place where the kli actually is. I'm not going to use the stupid phone. I'm not going to use the pen, but I need to use the place where the pen is. We'll talk about what the usage is in a couple of minutes, because you'll see how far it actually can be extended. So it's a surf makomo. Even if I leave it on the floor and maybe people will come to be hurt by it, that's also considered surf makomo. Not that I need the place, but people can walk over it. So Rav Eliezer Melamed points out, and this is 5 bet, v'chesh king asher kli munach al ritzvah kam shalchem alul mikoshibo mutar lifnoto. Okay, I want to go back now to the piece I skipped. Okay, this is Gimel. This actually was a bit of a chiddush for me. Klisha malachdal iser means the majority of the purpose of the object is for iser. Standard example is using the hammer. But I'm going to use the hammer for what? For cracking open the nuts. Or I have the hammer on the table and I need the place on the table. What if this object has absolutely no purpose beheter at all? I can't move it for itself because there's no purpose to use it. But what if I need the place where it is? Is that considered klisha malachta l'isser? Or is that now brings it to a separate category of muktza machmas gufa? In other words, this klisha malachta l'isser has to have some small, tiny percentage of usage for heter. Or if it does no usage for heter, is it still considered klisha malachta l'isser? So that's a machlokas among the achron. The Gemara doesn't talk about this at all. So the Aruch HaShulchan feels... I don't think it's in the Rishonim. I couldn't find any.
Balmor and Rashba.
Okay, the Balmor and Rashba talk about it. There we go.
Ravadia.
Okay.
Ravadia found
it. So, surely the Gemara is quiet, it's silent about it. But it does come down in practical terms, in terms of the Aruch HaShulchan, actually seems to feel that it's actually prohibited. He's quoting, really, looks, I think maybe the Magen Avraham is quoting. And I will read it for you. I'll read there two. The Aruch HaShulchan writes in two places. One is Vayishayin Tes, and one is Shin Ches. This is three alphabet. The Ner Shalana Shekorim Lechter, Pemuto Shalana Shekorim Lampin, the Hema Biatzma Muktzim Itam Sheinam Ruim Lashum Tashmish. These are candlesticks or candles or a wax candle, for example. V'have malachto le'isser she'en roi lemleches heter klal. There's absolutely no reason you could use this for heter. You're not going to use the candlestick to pry open the door. There's really no reason for it. The only thing you may be concerned about is if you have the candlestick on the table and you need to use the table for something else. So the candlestick is on a sidebar and you need to use that makom. V'mukza gemura av shelo hedliku ba klal. And the Aruch HaShulchan says, "Val kishesh toim bazel akach katav nuzed the neiru to pumud the shalom leolam asur betiltul b'shabbos." Completely asur, even though it's a klisha malachta l'iser, it's l'iser aval ein l'heter. Anyway, it's the same thing in Shin Ches where he talks about the laws of muktza. And can
lama pamuto that we don't use in Shabbos?
It's a klisha malachta l'iser. That they make out of tin.
We'll talk about it.
There you go. You keep pushing off the topics that the next guy speaks about.
That's how it works. But I'm the guy, so
we're not talking. We're not even talking about where it's lit. If it's lit, it's all separate problem. Okay, if it's lit, ben shmosha. This is not lit. But the only purpose I have, some people, for example, some people light less candles. I heard my wife lights less candles on Yom Tov than she does on Shabbos. So there could, I'm not sure why, but there could be. But that's a family minhag. But there could be an example where you have lach delach that you are not having a purpose because you have them around for Shabbos, but you're not using. I'm just trying to think of an example. Bottom line is, according to Aruch HaShulchan and some others, it actually happens to be, it looks like it's a klisha malachta l'iser that has no ability to use l'shem aleches heter, and therefore this is and apparently it may be different than from the days of the Gemara. This is the Aruch HaShulchan. The other protagonist is going to be Gimel, is going to be the Mishnah Berurah himself, who is arguing about, who points out, apparently people would take candles and move them altogether for no purpose, or they'd give the candle to a guy to use, or they would move the candle because they were afraid the candle would get ruined, it wasn't being used. So Mishnah Berurah is arguing and says, no, that you can't do. This is Gimel. Was used last week or in the weekday. Now, when we can and here, you got to be careful about the following thing that people do. People are used to doing the following thing, which the Mishmur will say is wrong. They would give it to a guy if they figured I'm not using it. It's only going to be muksa. I can't use once it's lit. So I'll give it to a goyer. I'll simply move it or take it inside. V'toin hein she'ein muta l'talta kli shemach l'yisar elak v'shitzarach l'makomo shel akli or shitzarach ha'yiswa l'gufo shel akli l'shtamish bo davar muta v'ti l'tzarach gufo or tzarach makomo b'shabas k'mo kornas l'tzai goes in m'kaleel. Okay, and he quotes others because it's more tzir or machmir, not even to move it at all. But now the Mishnah Berurah is saying that you actually can move it l'tzarach mekomo, right? How you would use the tzarach l'gufo shel kli is not really clear. So you have the two sides back and forth. Now it's interesting. When I skip dalet, it's a little complicated. But going to hay, this is actually took out of the book. This is the book put out by Simcha Cohen on Mukta, the Arch Scroll book. So he quotes here. From Shlomo Zalman Alba, from Shalmi Yehuda, they quotes that as follows: that Gam Hamagen Avraham Modeh Shasla Talta Kli Kazeh Letzarach Mekomo. However, Rak Mavur Barishonim Shai Minhag Biyamim Mahem. And tell me if I'm reading this wrong. Kishay Malav Madam Chashul LeBeit Knesset on Shabbat. Hayinosim they wrote Shleimot Mebli Ladlikam. They used to march these people in with candlesticks that were not lit. This was some kind of derech heter that was used for it. And he says, and also, of course, the Magen Avraham, in the Kota b'no shalot tash harashbats, al mokam shenogim shepam yishno shemachnis adam b'no lebe knesset mevin ner shayva b'yado ad kan l'shono. So in other words, apparently in those days, there was some kind of malacha shel heter, derech shel heter, to use candlesticks on Shabbat. Try this today. Walk into shul carrying candlesticks when you bring a chash of a guest in to the bima. See what happens. But that would change the whole system, and that would make it permissible. If there was no permissibility, then today would become aser. So it's just kind of an oddity, but the idea once again is klisha malachtol iser. It seems to be, at least according to the Aruch HaShulchan, and maybe possibly we've shown them as well, that it would be has to have some kind of heter in order to be able to move it at all. Otherwise, it is not a klisha malachtol iser. It's going to be klisha. It's going to be, I don't know, cheson kis, gufo, iser. I don't know what kind of definition we'll find. Okay, let's go back now to 6. Okay? So how much do I need to have the place in order that I have to move this around? What is considered using the place? Obviously, I have this hammer on the table, and I need to use the hammer. I understand it's Tzarach Gufo. What really defines using the place itself? So there's a number of cases come up. The Gemara's case is actually about a shoe that was in some kind of shoe machine. I don't know, people don't go shoemakers anymore, but once upon a time, when you went to a shoemaker, he had this kind of like saddle with like a...
It's called
the last. There we go. That's the last of the last. And he would have the shoe on it, and he'd bang down, reheel it, and resole it. And when it was finished, you know, you would take it off. So apparently, this was what the Gemara calls an emus, is something very similar. Now, here is the shoemaker left it on this machine. The machine, by the way, appears to be you could pick it up. So it was portable of some sort. And you need to get the shoe off, or the shoe is completed, and you need to wear the new shoe. So in order to get the shoe off, you needed to manipulate this emus to be able to work with it. Now the kli itself is a kli shemalach d'liyser. It's meant to make shoes on it. The shoe is finished. You need the shoe to get off. You need to put the shoe on your finish and the shoe on your foot. And the shoe was done before Shabbos, so it's not an idea of nolad, it's finished, it's ready, it's got everything, it's got your name on it. However, you have to manipulate the kli shemalach d'liyser to use it. So the Gemara brings down two opinions, two brises, and it says basically, lokasha, one says you can pull a shoe off from the emus, the other one says, ain't shomtim, so it says, lokasha, rabbeleza, harabanan. And it brings support from Tumah Tahara, which will define whether it's a kli or not a kli. The bottom line is the Shulchan Aruch Paskin is the Minal Chadash Mutar L'Shamta Me'al Adfus. Afu Bisham Lakta Lisar, Kave on the Shame Kli Alav Mutar L'Talta L'Tzarach Mekomo. So I'm not quite sure how to understand Tzarach Mekomo. It's the place, I need the place where the shoe is on to be have no shoe on it. It's the best I can come up with here.
I thought it was talking about a form that goes into the shoe.
Yeah, like I thought that's what it is.
So I need to get my foot into the shoe.
You need the space in the shoe to be free.
Okay, so what is the clue? So the Tzarach Mekomo is not the makom. So I need it's not the makom of the shoe, not the makom of the kli shemalach d'liyser.
Right, the thing is occupying the shoe.
But it's an unusual situation. Normally I pick up the hammer because I need the place where the hammer is on. But here I'm picking. I need the place in the shoe which is being occupied by this,
by the form.
By the form. So I'm removing the form, which is the kli shemat l'iser, because I need the place in the shoe, which is being occupied by the form itself. So I guess it's really the form itself, okay? So, and that's what the Mishnah Berurah explains. Mina chadash, nakad chadash, lor busav, shu mehudak al tfus shapir. It's really tightly on. Ve'en yochal lo shomto me'elav, elam ke metaltal, gamas ad tfus b'yadayim, afilo hachishari, di'av shu kli shemach al yisr, sha'idom metaknim ha'min alim, mekoma kama lo tzarech, lo mekoma da'hayno min al shad tfus munach bo. If it's an older shoe, then it's going to be much easier. You don't even have to move the tfus. You simply just slide the shoe off because it's been stretched already. Okay, that's the primary example that comes up in the Gemara that is brought down the Halacha. Let's see how far this goes. So what if I have a Shabbos table and I have this hammer on the table? Now, I don't really need the hammer. But, you know, it doesn't look so nice. People are going to walk in and see that Jairus left the hammer on the table for Shabbos. They're going to think that I don't really keep Shabbos. Or I don't think I really prepared properly for it. So can I remove the hammer? Is that considered Tzarech Mekomo? So I don't really, in other words, it's not really the Mokum itself, it's the place where it is. So Rav Moshe writes, he has a tshuva, Kli Shemach Lissa Hamunach Mokum Shein Amatim Mekon Shabbos, Ledugma 8 Hamunach Al HaShulchan B'Shabbos. I left my pens on the table, on Shabbos table, which is very possible, right? So Rav Moshe writes, you'll see a number of tshuvas about this, Tiltul Kozeh Lo Choshev K'Tiltul Tzarech Mekomo. I don't need a place. I have plenty of place on the table. It just doesn't look nice to me. Then this is v'zeh gufa kvoda Shabbos. That's exactly the point. That's the lesson to be taught, that I'm not going to move it because it's not tzarech gufa, not tzarech mekomo. It looks like I have a pen on the table and it looks not Shabbos-tik. That's what Shabbos means. You can't move it. So it's a time for a lesson about what it is. So tzarech mekomo means I need the place where the pen is actually on. Okay? And the same thing, the Dershu actually quoted the tshuva again, so it's the same tshuva, that it's not really considered really Tzarech Mekomo. And the quotes in this is Dalid, on the top of five, he quotes actually from Shlomo Zalman Albrecht, maybe it's a little different. This is about the fifth line of that quote, Achein Agano Shlomo Zalman Albrecht, in Shochan Shlomo, Estapek, Shema Asarat Kli Sheinu Mechubad Me'ashochan, Me'achmash Shemitbayesh Me'orchim, Nechshiva Ketilto Amokzil Tzarech Mekomo. Maybe. So he's not sure. And the Orel Tzion, who is Orel Tzion? Anybody know? Okay, thank you. Katav shekdei lechaved et Shabbat mutar la'asim ha'shulchan kli she'eino mechubad v'nechshav adar ketiltu ha'kli l'tzarech mekomo. Okay, so you see that there were different opinions within the poskim today where this can be done. Is this really tzarech mekomo? Or it's just not picking it up is really more of a tzarech Shabbos, about a lesson to be taught. Okay, a couple of things that come up about moving things l'tzarech mekomo. So hay is a tshuva from the Igros Moshe. I have a flashlight or some kind of lantern that's left on in a room, and it's going to bother me, so that's also considered tzarech mekomo. It's fascinating. Okay, not talking about unplugging it, it's talking about moving it to a different place, that's tzarech mekomo. Once again, if it is tzarech mekomo, if this is true, once you pick it up, you can move it anywhere. Right? It means I can, and I don't have to kick it around, I just have to pick it, I can actually pick it up. On the other hand, you have a response from Rav Lior. This came from the the Alon Moreh site. Atzur lahatzi pelafon shematzaltzel becheder mafria vein ze nechshav tzarech mekomo. I'm not quite sure why it's usur. We had a discussion the other day about this a little bit. Why would we usur take the pelafon that's ringing and bothering me? Why would that be different than the panas, which the Chuvitz Rav Igros Moshe is actually matir?
Well, the question I wasn't involved in the discussion the other day, but is this a matter of defining tzarech mekomo based on a physical need, you know, for the space, versus there are other ways in which it is preventing my use of the space? In other words, if tzarech mekomo
is in other words, yeah, from
if
the
tzarech mekomo isn't limited to physical disturbance,
right,
then why would I need a graf shalrei category?
Correct. Well,
except for items which you can't move for tzarech mekomo.
Right, correct. Right. So with the extension of Rav Moshe is putting out is tzarech mekomo is not just about where it physically is; it's about my needing the place to be quiet. So, or I needing the place to be dark. It happens to be that I need this area to be dark, and I have the panas on it, so I can take the panas out. That's a chiddush. Right, because it's redefining what is a physicality of tzarech mekomo to a use of the place in a different format, but not physically. Right. In fact, it's almost a negation of the makom. Silence the phone or remove the light.
What is the category of the flashlight? Like he is
klishim lachdol yisur. Klishim lachdol yisur. Which now, I guess, suppose you can use a flashlight to hold open a door or something like that. So it does have a form of heter. So klishim lachdol yisur, yesh gamkin ksat heter. So I can use it, therefore, for tzorach. I'm not using here letzorach guf. I'm using letzorach mekomo. Right, and it appears to be some kind of portable thing. Similarly, as well, this is another extension. This is quoting here of Shlomo Zalman Albach. Can you take a pair of tefillin out of the room in order to have relations? Okay. Once again, that is tzorach mekomo in a very general kind of sense. It's not using the place where the tefillin is on. Which, by the whole tefillin, when the tefillin is a klishim machdel iser, if we have a chance, we'll come to it at the very end. But let's assume for a moment tefillin is klishim machdel iser. Is that really a tzorach mekomo? It's really more using the rest of the room. It's almost like removing the light, removing the telephone, and so forth. Okay.
If you have a flashlight that's turned on,
yeah,
and you use it as a flashlight.
Can you use it as a flashlight? Is that sorry? Can you use tzorach gufo itself as a flashlight?
You can use to crack nuts, but right. Here it's, you can't turn it off and on. Can you use it for its light?
I don't know. It's a good
question. It's a discussion because if it's lead or wire.
Right.
It's
hot. Well, it's
not a hot one. It's machlok and zachron.
Right. No, the lead also is machlok.
What's lead? Yeah. Lead is lit?
It's a big machlok.
What's a lead?
LED.
Oh, LED. Okay.
It's a big machlok.
Right. It's a big machlok is what electricity is. In fact, you'll see. You can just look at it very quickly. On the top of page 6, this is what from Abelezer Malamed, I included a footnote. He's talking about using different kinds of appliances. So he says if the appliance has a monitoring light, what do you call it? Maybe an LED or might be a filament. And the filament is on, it changes the whole discussion of what it is. It's mukzah gomor.
Eight
bays? I'm talking about eight bays. Yeah. There's a little footnote that's in smaller print that's indented. So the having the filament on, it changes it from being klish mach del iser to something that's asur mach masatzvo or mukzah gomor.
Before they had electricity, when people had like candlelight on Shabbos.
They couldn't move.
Did they?
No, they couldn't.
No.
Some acharnim say it is if you think that the problem is that a flame makes something automatically us, or others say no, flames are different because either they don't really exist, right, and therefore it was an iser without a kli status, or because it might go out. Right?
We also had a separate discussion, which you saw when I talked about heaters, about how I view a wire inside of something else. I don't know if you're going there with this.
I'm just leaving it there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, okay.
All right, well, take a look at 8 bays, because you see it's one view.
Right. His view is that it really makes it a mukta machmas gufo, I think. No, machmas
machmas. Right. Moshe disagreed.
Right. Where the electricity is klishim, which may make electricity a klishim.
Well, the question was, right, so he, right, Moshe said, like, your electric blanket, right, or your heater, you can move on Shabbos. As long as you cover the controls so you don't accidentally hit them or whatever. That's a separate issue.
Right. I mean, what's happening is electricity is becoming a lot more complex, so the appliances are becoming more complex. And there are, you know, there's all kinds of monitoring and internal circuits that we don't even sometimes know about. So, for example, if you just turn back the page to 5, this is number tet, where he quotes here from Shlomo Zalman Auerbach that if you have a plug plugged in the wall and the appliance is off, but you're afraid people may come to trip on the wire, you can take the plug out. Now that may work if there's no residual power within the appliance itself that's being used off of the plug, but more and more these days there's always going to be some kind of residual power that's there, so I'm not quite sure that would apply. So this is
if you would flag it that it's not going to work again.
If I unplug it, it won't work again, but it's not set to work. It happens to be I left...
It's set to work, like, I don't know, you have a Shabbos clock.
I don't have a Shabbos clock. No, he's talking about that simply I left something out, and
yeah,
I left
know,
the wire across.
You have a Shabbos clock, you know, the Shabbos clock closing.
Yeah.
So you don't have electricity, and you unplug it.
Okay.
Because you know that...
That's true, yeah. If I've broken the circuit by a Shabbos clock, that's true. But all I'm saying is when you're plugged in, when you have something plugged in, if I don't have a Shabbos clock or a switch within the line, I may still have residual power going into the item, And that would probably be an even bigger machlokas, how to define what that residual power is, what kind of malacha is actually being done. I'm not quite sure. It just gets more and more and more complicated. In Baruch Hashem, we live with a world of appliances, and every day there's more and more chips and computers and this and that, and that's what life is all about. Okay, going to move to where we are running out of time. Let's just move to number 7. This is, I think, the furthest that the people pull it out. We talked about having the pen on the table before. What about if your room is messy? What about if you got guests suddenly coming and the whole house is messy? Can you actually fix the house? So once again, the kli can only be used litzarach gufo, litzarach makomo. So even a kli shemlachta leheter may only be that. Let's say a kli shemlachta leheter for sure. So he quotes here, and once again, I didn't check it out. This is once again from the Elomo Rei. Quotes the name of Shlomo Zalman Auerbach that this is permissible to clean up if it's like mishtam graf shel rei. If the room is so messy, you could clean up and move things around. There's a graf shel rei, which was so disgusting. And then he quotes the responses from Rabbi Yaakov Levanon that's very difficult to say that a messy room is graf shel rei. It's just a messy room. Graf shel rei, something that's extremely inherently disgusting and despicable, and you want to get away from it. A messy room does not have the same kind of importance unless you happen to be a neat freak. But the other opinions on the Piskei Tshuva says if you're a mitbayesh mipnei orchim, it's considered tzarach makomo. And then he quotes in Gimel from Shailas and Tshuvas Oz Nidbaru. That's about the salon, the main room. If the main room is messy, that's a bad sign. But the back room, the bedrooms, the back halls where people don't go into, you can leave them messy as they are. And then he quotes from Meiri, which I don't know where this Meiri actually even is, that anything that's l'tzarach Shabbos, even l'sader abayit, is going to be considered tzarach makomo and mutar. So that's really just the extension of what these are. Just move through some of the number 8 very quickly so we can get to some of the other pieces. What you'll see in Eretz Yisrael, I don't see it here as much, but in Eretz Yisrael you'll see that they have a lot of big floor fans. A lot of rooms, right? Air conditioning is not as rampant, and even where it is, it's usually the wall units. So the fans blow the stuff around. Sometimes people will move the fan itself to get more air or less air or redirect it. Now that's a kli shemlachta l'iser. Okay, so now the question is a kli shemlachta l'iser when it's on and off. When it's off, ma'zel l'iser, ki ze po'el l'idei elektrielam. If you say the electricity is going to be some form of dvar iser, bone, esh, I don't know.
No, it's already turned on.
Ken, that was a kli shemlachta l'iser, that's on. Okay, now probably has some kind of purpose that is leheter. Maybe it's leheter. And there's a whole machlokas about how to define what these fans actually are. So there are a number of opinions which are mentioned when both in the Haros of Dirshu. And I told you it's further complicated if you have a filament that's on and off, that stays on even when the fan is off. What does that really make it? Okay, let's just look for a moment. Let's go to page 8, number Dalet. Okay, this is, he quotes Nigris Moshe, that this is, right, Klisha Machdol Isser, what am I looking for?
The third line,
right, I saw that, no, the Shudinok Klisha Machdol Isser, and then he says, Shigur Shittasu Shemach Shimei Chashmal Nechshivim Kleilim Shemach Leheta, that's Nigris Moshe. However, Rav Shalom Zalman Auerbach writes, Shem Avuer Mechubam Bavadai Nechshav Klisha Machdol Isser. If it's off, it's kli shemach l'iser. Ach bo de poel yesh l'dun shem enechshav kli shemach l'heter. Why?
I don't understand what that...
What did that sentence mean?
But if like, when it means what it says it means, but that's why I mentioned it, because it seems to be self-contradictory.
If you want to use the
Yeah. So you look at Rav Moshe's tshuva, he says, Mikra Dini thinks it's kli shemlachta leheter. But he's choshesh that if we treat it as shemlachta leheter legamre, people might play with it, they might, whatever, they might not understand electricity. And therefore, he tells you to only use it under circumstances that would be mutter kli shemlachta
leheter. He doesn't believe it's kli shemlachta
leheter. No, he says, if you compare the three tshuva to Rav Moshe referenced himself. And he says,
Shlomo Zalman says that when it's on, it's kli shemachta leheter. When it's off, it's kli shemachta l'iser.
Yeah, that
didn't make sense.
I The one before that I got.
Okay.
Because I read Moshe's.
Now, if just with one more paragraph, the Rav Karlitz writes, Shabbat Shamaver Poel Yesh Lachushu Muktzav Gomer Kushal Heves. While it's on, it's really Masa Muktzav Mas Mas Isur or Shal Heves. Ma Mechamah Zerna Chashmal Over Betocho, because that's electricity, which is Klishmach Delisa, Valkane, or worse. Ain Le Tautlo Afotzok Guvo Mekomo. And however, when it's ba'odam mechubed, dino k'klisha machdal iser, umutla tatla tzarek gufa makomo. So when it's off, it's klisha machdal iser. When it's on, it's even worse. You can't move it all. Move it at all. Ah, k'shu poel yesh l'stapek b'davar l'chein yitatlo braglo. So you've got all the different opinions really here. So and so forth. Okay. On the other hand, if you just go to the bottom of the page, these the same dirshu people. Right, Misha rotzel afnot me'avrer l'chivon acher. Katav v'shalos and tshuvos igris Moshe. This is one's going to Moshe again. Shemuto lo lazizo kedin tilto klishim lachdo leisol tzarek gufa. I understand because other Moshe would say it's klishim lachdo hetta. V'chein das v'gon shalom zol na'albach. Midach v'das v'gon Rav Shlomo Zbozner. Mutav sheyazino sheyizidenu be'raglo. Okay, so back and forth and so forth. And let's just leave the rest of this. I'm going to leave the English piece about from Josh Flug, though it's an interesting thing. When you say Nitzarach Gufo, does it have to be a positive purpose or just a negation of a negative purpose? But move to the next part of this is number 9, because we got a part to go through. Can you move a Klisha Malachto Le'isser if you have a Klisha Malachto Le'heter available? Okay, can I pick up the hammer to crack the nut if I have a nutcracker? Okay, so so the answer is it looks like Mishabur says Marish Ein Lo Kli Het L'Shtal L'Tash Mishzul. This is 9 Aleph, and the same as Kav Chaim. That you can use, there's no Kli Heter, but if you had a Kli Heter, I could not use the Kli Isser. Now maybe I want to use the hammer because the nutcracker is not going to work on this big ornery walnut. But let's say it's an equal toss whether I use the walnut, the nutcracker, or the hammer. I couldn't take the hammer itself. And that's basically what they all say. However, if Moshe points out, like, don't sweat it too much. If you really got to go out of your way to find the klish el heter, it's not worth it. If it's easy, like, here's my hammer and here's my nutcrackers on the other side of the room, is fine. But if I got to go up in the closet and back and forth and everything else, so you're right, it's only v'rakim nimtza b'kiruv, this is number dalet, makom b'li torach rav, yesh lo l'shtamesh b'kli ha'eter v'lo b'kli shemach t'l'iser. However, if it's really a lot, then you got to, you shouldn't have to work too hard for it. And it's pretty much what we have, what they're also quoting here from in the Dirshu piece itself. Don't we have a lot of tircha for it. The other part is Klisha Machdal Iser Ula Heter. What happens if you have a Kli that is Klisha Machdal Iser, we're defining as something that is like the hammer. I know a hammer is a Klisha Machdal Iser. I don't normally use it for nuts. What if I have a Kli that's Klisha Machdal Heter Ula Iser itself? So what would that be? I have something when I could use it for storing.
Oven.
An oven. An oven, I want to use the oven to store my food, my pots and pans. I keep my pots and pans in the oven. On the other hand, the oven is also used for cooking. Now, probably in North America, this may be less common. In Israel, maybe where things are smaller.
No, so cookies, like after you bake the cookie.
You leave them in the oven?
No, the cake is in the thing. After you bake it, you put it back.
In the oven?
Yeah, because it's very big usually.
Okay.
Low
it's Leno. Okay. But I guess you could. I don't know. I mean, we put it in the fridge or some other place on a shelf.
We used to store stuff in the oven until a certain number of times when we turned on the oven, forgetting there was something inside, and then we stopped using it for storage.
But that's there's a good example. Or let's say
if you have a small apartment, you don't have a choice.
Right. Let's say maybe a pot that you use to cook, which is klisha machdal iser, and you use the pot also to store. It doesn't only have to be an oven. So that's really a question back and forth. And what's the real issue? The issue is what you define this as. Does it have to be like 51%, 49%, 50-50? So it was not as clear to me. It really goes back to the Rashba, which is about moving the meducha with shum within it. What defines this as a klisha machdal iser and leheter? But you look in the Mishnah Berurah, I'm going to move to 10 bet. The Mishnah Berurah writes, V'hoadinam hoi malachto le'isar u'leheter, gam ken lo makze daito minei. U'kadei wa shemalachto hu levishol, u'lefamim mishtam shimbo lemayim u'leperot, hi bechlau kli shemalachto le'isar, im lo shiesh bo me'atavshio. So I guess he's defining this, it's not based upon what most of the actual work is. And that's what he writes pretty much in the Bir HaLacha. if it's really the ikur is from Meleches Iser, then you really makse your das from it. But on the other hand, if it's I guess an even throw back and forth, then you could use it for both. The most interesting thing that I found is on the bottom of this page, where you flip over, a piece about this is from the Dirshu, and the interesting piece about this is the number Hey, 10 Hey, is this is in the old, the Dirshu Mishnah Berurah underwent a revision. Usually the revision includes more footnotes than were in the old one. This case was a footnote in the old one that I saw that was not in the new one. And that's about a gun, a rifle. Is a rifle kli shemlach dol iser or kli shemlach dol heter? You probably would all say it's kli shemlach dol iser. Nachon? Kanareh. However, he writes, this is the old version, the first version of the Dirshu says, according with Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, that they use the actual rifle mostly for scaring people away, for fear. So it's really kli shemlach dol heter. Okay? The policeman, the border patrol, the army needs it to scare people.
Every other person on the negotiation.
The police is the other issue.
Ma?
The police is the other issue.
The police, okay, let's say
the
soldiers.
Yeah, I think
about soldiers.
Nachon,
tzava, tzava, tzava. Nachon, tzava, tzava. So he says, and he writes, even if it has in it the machsonid, even has the cartridge in it, right, it still considers a klisha machto li heter. However, he quotes the Chazon Ish that he considers the...
It's a nutcracker.
Yeah, that it's a klisha machdol iser. So if a soldier has to bear on Shabbos duty with the rifle, not
what
use it
with the cartridge in it.
When you go to the army, you get dust and you get the rifle.
No. All I can say is, in the new edition, this footnote is missing.
Missing the logic. So you're supposed to say that I'm carrying my gun in order to.
That's if he says klisha machdol iser. That's right, klisha machdol iser. I'm going to use it as I go along. So every hour I crack a nut.
You can't pick up a hammer and say, in 45 minutes, I will use this hammer to break a nut.
Use it right away. Crack the first nut. Crack the first nut, and then once you picked it up, l'shem l'gufo, you can keep it.
Okay, maybe.
Yeah, I saw another header for it. Like, why is klisha machdol iser hetel?
Ken?
Because when you use it, it's pikuach nefesh. It's hetel.
Nachon. אז אני לא יודע אם זה זה מותר, אבל לא יודע אם זה מביא את הכלי להיות כלי שמחת להתר. זה כלי שמחת לי זה שמותר בשביל פיקוח נפש. הכל מותר בשביל פיקוח נפש. נכון, אם אני אוכל לא קשר בשביל פיקוח נפש, זה אומר שזה קשר?
לא, אבל
אני לא אמרתי איסור. החפץ לא משתנה.
Yeah, but הנשק himself is only to use with פיקוח נפש. It's only for using פיקוח נפש.
Okay. Anyways, guys, I got 3 minutes to wrap this up. Okay, here we go. So very quickly, what about, let's move over to number 11, okay? We mentioned this very briefly before. If it's klisha machdol iser, if I pick it up, do I have to put it down? Right, so the answer is, and you'll see from all the sources here, there's actually a Tosfos in Masechet Be'a, which just talks about Yontif. The Magid Mishnah applies it to Shabbos, that the moment that I pick it up, it's metatl tzorach mekomom, anicho be'ezim makom shiirtzeh. However, that's davar muskam. Once I pick it up, I can put it down wherever I want. However, what happens if I wasn't supposed to pick it up? Okay, let's say I don't really need makomo, or I thought I needed makomo and I didn't need makomo, or I thought it's really legufo and it's not really legufo. By mistake, I picked something up. Can I now, and it's a klisha machdol heter uli klisha machdol iser, can I now have that opportunity to put it down where I want to? Or once I suddenly realize that I didn't really need the place, I was under a mistaken impression, I have to drop it as it is. You're looking at me. No. Okay. So that's you're just spaced. Okay, so that's a machlokas between the Magen Avraham and the Gra. And this is number Vav. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes both opinions. The Magen Avraham says, "Who din him shachach v'not la biyadol rashay letatli yoter afshan atila haya shelo letzorak gufa umakoma." The Gra says, on the other hand, no. The only way you get a freebie to put it down where you want is if you took it letzorak gufa umakoma. If you made a mistake, v'sfirle loytira elik shitchila taltel bereshut. So it goes back and forth, and the answer is you probably, if you're really stuck, you probably can rely upon the Magen Avraham. If it's going to be a hefsid, you rely upon the Magen Avraham. Otherwise, you may want to be careful about, and the Gra, which only says the heter is there if you picked it up per permission. Now, let's just move quickly to
that I was going to offer you was, if you want to just finish the rest in the start of next week's shiur rather than have to race through.
Okay.
Fine with me.
All right.
That's what I was looking at.
You also started 5 minutes late.
Right, there's also... Whatever you like, but I don't want you to have to rush through things. So
substance.
Okay, maybe we'll just talk about the idea of basis, and then we'll kind of leave number 12 for 12 and 13 for next time, okay? So the final piece is, this is about the basis, l'davar asur. If you have a basis, the normally thing that's asur, it's mukza, and it's something is holding up, right? It's a basis, l'davar asur, is the same thing. So for example, if you have pamutot, and they are on, or a candle is on a pamuta, so pamuta is, well, that's a klishe machdalisa. What about a candle, the tray under the candlesticks would be a basis. So what about klishe machdalisa? And now you need to meet Tzorach Makomo for the actual object, or Tzorach Gufo. So it seems to be a machlokas whether the laws of basis are going to apply to it or not. You've got two opinions, one against the other, the Aruch HaShulchan, which says that the basis is even for Tzorach Gufo Makomo, like regular mukza, and therefore if you have the heder basis, for, it's going to be work for Klisha Machdalisa, it's going to move to Letzorach Gufo Makomo, just like the mukza itself. So if I could move the mukza Letzorach Gufo Makomo, I could move the basis that's under it as well, for Letzorach Gufo and Letzorach Makomo. The Prima Gadam, on the other hand, says he's not sure, Tzorach Ian, im have basis, Letzorach Gufo Makomo, shor letatlo melachas leiser, so yesh lomar shatachton lav basis. So he says, no, basis is only something that applies to real mukza. This is a kli. Once again, you see this this tension is the kli. The same law as all types of muksas, a separate kind of definition, and he says that rather that will be not considered basis. So maybe we'll just keep it at this point, and we'll do next week. We'll tell you how to get around the fact that you can't move klisha machdalisur unless it's sarku from Makomo. What other ways are there to get around that? Stay tuned.
Good. So that'll be this. We'll keep the sheets for next Friday.